Folks, we want to welcome our speaker this morning. He had an opportunity to meet with our men, brought some great words. God, I know, has used him as an amazing instrument to just bless our guys and ladies and all you kids that your dads and husbands were out there at that campground. You'd probably need to come and thank Brother Craig for blessing your father, blessing your husband with the word that the Lord put on his heart. Because your guys came back changed. Your guys came back ministered to by the Holy Spirit. And so we're thankful that he's here, and God has sent us a very choice servant. And this morning, it's open for him to come and minister to this whole group. So will you welcome Mr. Craig Rivers this morning? Amen. God bless you.
Buddy, take all the time you need, because we're late. So if you want to go to 10, love it.
Okay. Well, good morning. And to the rest of you, good morning. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I tell you what, I like what I feel. Well, somebody said, well, you can't go by feelings. I'd say, leave me alone, I like what I feel. Powerful worship. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. The anointing of God is here in this room to change us. Amen, somebody? If two of you shall agree, touch and agree, Jesus will make it happen. And he wants to change us this morning. I've got a message for you entitled, A Generation Rising. A Generation Rising. You can turn to Ezekiel chapter 37 if you'd like. If not, you'll have to trust me. I love your pastor because he's real. There's some pastors out there that are polished and they perform. But I like real men of God. To me, Christianity is not a performance. It's a lifestyle we get to live. Amen. Then take our last breath and go to heaven forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Can't wait. Cannot wait. So, Pastor, thank you for this opportunity to be here. It is a privilege and an honor to stand before you today. I do not count it as a light thing to stand before this sacred desk. I believe that God has something for us this morning. Even in these songs, All creation rising. God has a word for us this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and I will come, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence in this room right now to do the miraculous. To God, give us eyes to see what you want us to see. to help us understand, God, and be energized and empowered by Your Holy Spirit to be a part of this generation rising up out of darkness, out of death, to walk in life. We thank You, God, for saving us and delivering us and filling us with Your power so that we can be and do all that You've created us to do. Now we pray, God, in a few moments when we respond to an altar and come in this altar and pray and seek Your face, that God, You would allow us to understanding that we are part of a vast army in the earth. We are part of the greatest organization on the planet, the Church of the Living God. And so, Lord, today, help us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart responding to You today. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And somebody said a good amen. I am an internal optimist. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be awesome in eternity with Jesus. Amen, somebody? And I'll tell you where I get my views from. I get them from the Bible. I believe 5 seconds into heaven, we're going to be blown away by God's majesty. And we'll be really, really glad that we are there with Him. Until then, we have some living to do. Until then, we've got some living to do. What kind of living have we been doing so far? What kind of living have you been doing so far? But what kind of living after today and being in the presence of God and hearing His Word? Because His Word does not return void to Him. He has a plan. If you haven't heard of it today, Jesus loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And it's an awesome plan. He's got a blueprint, and we can see it from Ezekiel. He's got a blueprint that He intends for us to go by. Amen, somebody? Now, it's not always easy, and it doesn't promise that it'll be easy, but He does promise us power to get the job done. He does promise us resources that we can accomplish all that He has for us. But we got to make a choice this morning. Do we want to live the way He wants us to live? It depends on what we've seen and what we believe. How we live is based on what we believe. What we believe as Christians should be based on what we see in Scripture. But we must understand Scripture. We must see and have vision for the King of Kings and His kingdom. If we don't have vision, if we don't rise up in this generation, and we can't do it ourselves, we have to have His power. How many know you can't save yourself? You can't keep yourself saved. Like Paul, many times we say, don't we? The thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, I end up doing. Wretched man and woman that we are. Amen, somebody? But thanks be to God. Paul don't stop right there. He says, thanks be to God who's delivered me. Hallelujah. From the power of sin, so that we can be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit to have vision for the kingdom of God all the days of our lives. A generation rising. I don't know about you, but the church is not going anywhere. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the most powerful force that will come against it would be the gates of hell. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it, will not prevail against it. And Jesus is building His church. And His church is people. And how does He build His church? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. He raises us from spiritual death. He raises us out of darkness and brings us into the light so that we can see. So this morning, let's open our eyes, church, and see a generation of young people, a generation of children, teenagers, and maybe we can just put a, if we put a number on it, maybe 30 and under, a generation rising up, this next generation coming up before us, that we see this generation rising up to serve God. Can I get a good amen this morning? That's the plan of God. That's what He wants. A generation rising. Volunteers. You know, when I first got saved, I was 19 years old, and then I felt like God was calling me into ministry. And back then, there were the old timers and the preachers that were in charge. They talk about their calling. Well, how did you get your calling? And I was like, oh, goodness, I'm in trouble. Because I didn't have an experience where God called me. You know what I did? I volunteered. I got saved and wanted to do something for Jesus. And I started reading the Bible, and God started talking to me, and I started believing what He was saying, and I wanted to stand up in my generation and be a man of God, and I wanted to live for Him and tell people about Him. And I've experienced going from a shy young man, when my mom said, Craig, I can't believe you're going to be a preacher. You're so shy. I couldn't wait to get here this morning and grab the microphone and talk to you about Jesus. Because I blame the Holy Spirit for changing a shy young man into a man that loves Jesus and is not ashamed of Him. And I blame the power of the Holy Spirit. I put all blame on the Holy Spirit because Jesus is not in the earth. God, the Holy Spirit is here. And this morning, we've got to have vision. We've got to see this generation rising up under the power and authority of God's Word. And they'll do it if we do it. And it's happening right here at Trinity Assembly of God, I'm telling you. It's happening right here. The question is whether or not you and I will choose to be a part of what God's doing. Because it will require sacrifice of time and effort and energy and money and resources and our strength in our bodies. God will call us to sacrifice for the vision of the house. And I'm telling you, there is vision here. God has given Pastor JD vision. There is vision for this community. And guess what? You're not always going to agree with the details. Come on, everybody say amen. Amen. No, I said everybody say amen. Amen. Listen, you like blue, I like green. I like Auburn, you like, hopefully not Alabama, amen. We're all different, but when it comes to the kingdom of God, we've got to follow the king. And when the man of God is following the king, I don't know about you, but I'm in. I still felt like, I got saved yesterday. How many of you have gotten saved and never gotten over it? Man. A generation rising is volunteers who are consumed with Jesus, building His kingdom in the hearts of people. He's building His kingdom. We will be judged by what we did in this earth. We will be judged. As believers, we will be judged. We will stand before Jesus. Now, it's not a matter of salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. You have a place in heaven. You have the opportunity for Jesus to say, enter in, good and faithful servant, into the kingdom that's eternal. I can't wait. Anybody with me? Can't wait. Lived on this earth long enough to know pain, suffering, turmoil, trials, tears. I'm ready to see Jesus. I don't know about you. But until then, I plan on living and being part of a generation rising up. Rising up to serve God and to live for God. See, we're going to be judged. The things, how we lived, what we did will be judged. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, it will pass through the fire. So it's going to be tested. In other words, it matters how we live our lives. It matters if we are putting our hand to the plow and pushing the gospel plow forward to see people in this community saved, set free, delivered, and filled with the power of God, them rising up. Them rising up in this generation. Anybody, since you've gotten saved, have you felt like God is raising you up? How many believe heaven is up? I'm going up. I don't know about you, but I want to go up and I want to see Him and be with Him forever. But until then, let's have faith and hope and believe God and allow Him to raise us up, mature us, so that we can help this next generation see that the kingdom of God is the greatest entity, the most powerful thing on the planet. So I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in playing church. I don't believe in just, hey man, let's read the Bible and have a nice little Bible study, guys. I believe in the power of God that sets us free. I believe that Jesus is alive this morning and that He's at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 7:25. He is living to make intercession for me and you. I don't know about you, that makes me happy. That makes me excited because I can make a big old mess of things. How about you? So I need His eyes to see the vision. I need His heart to accomplish the vision. I need His strength to do the vision. To see this generation rising up, we've got to die to ourselves so that He can live through us in resurrection power. Can you hear me this morning? A generation rising. Well, what happened to Ezekiel and what did he see? I'm so glad you asked. The first thing is the hand of the Lord was on him. Did you hear that when we read it? The hand of God was on him. Next, we see that he was brought by the Holy Spirit to a valley. By the Holy Spirit. God's hands on him. He brings him to this valley. He has a supernatural experience with God and a supernatural vision from God. This is the kind of God, this is the God that we serve. This is what he does. He's led back and forth in this valley, back and forth, and he sees a lot of bones, and he sees a lot of dry bones. A lot of dry, powdery. I can just imagine how it was. Just desolate, dry. When I was in Bible college, a buddy of mine got me a job, and he worked in the orange groves. Man. I thought roofing. I worked for a roofing company out of high school, and I thought that was hot, hard work. But wow. Working in the orange groves, it gets hot. dry. My friend's like, hey, you want a water? I want 4 gallons of water, bro. It's hot. So I can imagine this valley. Here, God's got his hand on him. Holy Spirit's bringing him there, and he's wanting him to see something. See, my prayer for us this morning is that we can see a generation of young people rising up. And those of us adults that are maturing in the Lord, and God has blessed us with wisdom, he's blessed us with some experience, that we would put our hands to the plow. We would continue to go forward with the vision of God so that this next generation can clearly see what God has for them. He's led back and forth. And then God asked him a question. Can these bones live? I don't know about you, but that would make me very nervous. God asking me a question. And how many of you know God doesn't ask questions to get answers? Because he knows everything. But Zeke here, he's a pretty smart fella. You know, Lord. You know. And that's how it ought to be. He does know. And God's got a plan. God tells him to prophesy. Speak to the dry bones. He tells him to speak to... Now listen, if you don't think there's crazy things in the Bible, you haven't read it all the way through. This book makes no sense without the author of the book helping us. Amen, somebody? Amen. This is crazy stuff. You know, you ever been talking to somebody and you're trying to tell them about Jesus or something about God and his word, and then halfway through you're like looking at them and they're going, mm-hmm. And you're going, mm-hmm. We are not here to defend God and prove God to anybody. We can't. But if we allow him to come through us. See, the proof is in the outpouring. The proof is in the power. The proof is in the presence of God who convinces us. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, I understand the Bible tells us to be ready to defend the hope and have answers for people. We can. But we are really like John the Baptist, who God raised him up out in the wilderness, and he's preaching the word. He's preaching the word, and people are hearing it, and they're responding. And they're getting baptized in water, and their lives are being changed. But then comes the Lamb of God. Then comes the powerful one. Then comes God in the flesh, Emmanuel himself. And what does John do? He bows before him and says, he is the Lamb of God. I'm not worthy to even bend down and untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This man, this son of man, this is God in the flesh. He will give you power to accomplish the vision of God. He'll give it. We can't do it ourselves, but he'll give it. So God tells Ezekiel to speak to the bones. Now, it may seem crazy to you, but when I first got saved, see, there's a little bend in my family tree. It's bent with a little bit of alcoholism. It's bent with a little bit of manic depressant. That's the kind of people, that's some of the relatives that I have. Don't look at me like that. You got some crazy people in your tree, too. We all do. Everybody's got that crazy uncle. Everybody's got it. Or aunt. I had an aunt and uncle. But therapy, it's going well. But you know what I started doing when I got saved? I would prophesy to my life. And I'd actually went in my bathroom, and call me crazy if you want to, but when Jesus comes, call me gone. But I'd look in the mirror, and I'd say, Craig, you're not going to be an alcoholic. You're a young man of God. Now I look in the mirror and say, Craig, you're a man of God. There's a little more gray there, Craig. Keep it going, though, buddy. But I look in the mirror, and I would say to my life, Craig, you're not going to be an alcoholic, and you're not going to be manic depressive, because the Bible says that you can be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. You don't need the artificial imitation junk of the world to fill you and satisfy you, and you don't have to be sad and down and depressed. And hey, listen, we all deal with depression at times, but the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence there's pleasure forevermore. At his right hand there's joy and there's pleasure forever and ever and ever. So all we've got to do is get in his presence. We feel down. Amen, somebody? Amen. God told him to speak to the bones. So I started speaking, and guess what? I'm not drinking today, and I'm not sad. I'm like King Agrippa when he said, I think myself happy. Hallelujah. I'm happy this morning. And then Ezekiel spoke to the bones, and guess what happened? They start rattling. They start coming together. I can just see them. Live, bones. Starts rattling, coming together. He's getting a little fired up now. Oh, yeah. Tendons, get on the bones. Muscles. Because when the power of God touches us, we are never the same. When the hand of God comes upon us, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm a little hyper anyway, but I'm telling you, I'm addicted to the presence of God. I love Jesus and His power and His presence. And I don't know about you, but I want as many people that I can lead that way. Because see, when I was young, I led my friends into drinking and drugs. And I realized that, see, there was a call on my life to lead people. And so this morning, I want to lead you to be in this generation and see this generation rising up, and that you'll do everything that you can to see people come to know Jesus, and you'll do everything that you can to see children, teenagers, and men, women, boys, and girls all over your sphere and circle of influence that you live in, that you'll see this generation rising up. That you won't see just dry bones and desolation and emptiness and despair and no hope. But you'll realize as a man of God and a woman of God that you have power coming out of you. That you can speak to this generation. Get up in Jesus' name. Rise up in Jesus' name. And people will. They'll be changed by the power of God. Well, no, not me. No, I could never do that. Yes, you can. And that's God's plan. That's the blueprint. Is to speak His word. Ezekiel chapters 1 through 32 deal there about the judgment of Israel and some other nations. Israel was scattered in captivity in Babylon. Israel is empty and dry without hope. Now let me just say this. Israel is in their condition because they were disobedient to God. So I want to encourage you this morning. I would do nothing else with my life than serve God. Best decision I've ever made in my life was to give my life to Christ. Only regret I have is I wish I'd have gotten saved at a younger age. Because I'm telling you what, it's good living for Jesus. It's powerful. It's incredible. It's the best life. John 10:10, Jesus said it. It's abundant life. It's a quality of life nothing can compare to. And it's a supernatural life that this life in the flesh is just part of it. That if you believe what he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, so we'll live forever. So just like worship this morning is a prelude to the kingdom, I can imagine how powerful it is in heaven, because I'm telling you what, we say it like this in Alabama. That worship music cranked my tractor. Woo! See, because I'm an addict. I love Him. And I want people to love Him. But I'm not going to force Him on anybody. But I want to live my life clear. I want to live my life glorifying God so they can see that Jesus is real. Now chapter 32 in Ezekiel tells us of the destruction of Jerusalem. And I want to tell you this morning that if you don't think that you and I as believers are connected to Jerusalem, you're wrong. The Bible says clearly, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that that's God's, the holy city of David. That's God's place. Jesus is going to come back, put His foot down on the Mount of Olives. I mean, it's important that we understand that we are Jews by spiritual birth. Are you with me this morning? That the Bible, Paul teaches that we've been grafted into the vine. That we're a part of this vast kingdom, worldwide and eternally. So we've got to understand Jerusalem. Pray for Jerusalem. Pray. And believe God that His kingdom come and His will be done, because we are connected to that. Now chapter 33 forward, we read, and it's recorded about Ezekiel's prophecies of restoration and renewal. Judgment. Judgment comes to every person. Judgment comes to the living and the dead. Judgment comes to every person that rejects Christ will stand before the great white throne and give an account of their life. Why did they reject Christ? Us as believers, we'll stand before Jesus, and like I said earlier, we'll be judged by how we live, not based on our salvation. We'll go into heaven. If you think about this, Ezekiel kind of gives us a picture of what it's like to be in captivity and then set free and living in renewal and restoration. And that's what Ezekiel's talking about. He's talking to people, the Israelites, that have no hope. They're filled with despair. They're dusty, dried, and have no hope for the future. But see, God has a plan for Israel. He's always had a plan for Israel. He always will have a plan for Israel. And we are part of the kingdom of God. He's got a plan, and He will bring forth that plan. What can this passage teach us about our generation? Well, aren't we living in a country of dry bones? Huh? What about them dry bones of divorce? What about the dry bones of sexual perversion? I'm so sick of hearing about same-sex marriage. I'm just sick and tired of it. Got four boys. Read the front of the book, boys. It's Adam and Eve. Done. Period. The end. But I'm sick of the... Let's look what the devil's doing. He's trying to shove this stuff down this generation's throat. And I've even heard some people equate it to civil rights of African Americans. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is perversion. Always has been, always will be. Amen, somebody? Amen. I'm not political. I just believe what the book says. Amen. And our country seems kind of dusty. What about abortion? And listen, I'm speaking from experience. I've been to what some friends of mine in North Carolina, they call them abortion mills, rightly so. And I've sat with them, stood with them, and watched a young man taking a girl in to abort that baby, and this man of God step in and minister and save that baby's life. We got dry bones in America. What about drug abuse? Where our country is talking about legalizing, well, they legalize marijuana in some places. So, you know, a lot of things happen out west, try to make their way over here into the Bible Belt. We better buckle up. We better tighten up that belt. Amen, somebody? Because I can tell you right now from experience, shame to say, marijuana makes you stupid. So what we're going to have? We're going to have dry bones, stupid bones. Oh, man, it's cool. No, it ain't cool. Yeah, sin is fun for a season, but then people are bound by these things. We can't allow these dry bones. We've got to stand up and prophesy. We've got to see a generation rising up. They're not smoking weed. They're smoking the Word. They're breathing in holy power. What about the violence and the hatred? Can we see those bones? Well, it sounds like to me, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says this, but mark this. There'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, taking selfies all the time. I inserted that, sorry. I do think that's interesting, isn't it? Go on with your selfies, that's okay. Technology can be good and it can be bad, amen. Says that people be lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Paul tells Timothy, have nothing to do with these kind of people. Dry bones. Dry bones. 85% of Americans, or right around that number, say they are Christians, but over 50% of that same group that says that claim and believe that sex outside of marriage is okay. We've got a problem. About you, but I see some dry bones. Now, I could go on with stats, but I don't want to do that because I don't have to do that to prove to us that we live in a time what I'm calling deceptive dry bones. The enemy's been at it a long time. And he loves to twist the Word of God. And we've just read that people have a form of godliness, but they have no power. So they want to be, or they try to be, but cannot be. We need the power of God. It's the power of the cross and resurrection. It's the good news that saves us. Amen, somebody? And then it's the power of God that keeps us. And it's the power and presence of God that motivates us. Makes us want to get out of bed. Makes us want to live for Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to us. And we can say in our generation, yeah, this is happening. This is true. Paul told Timothy that these things would mark the times of the last days. But we can look at it and say, yeah, we see dry bones. But we can say, speak the Word of God to this generation. I see dry bones, but I see a generation rising under the power of God. You know, I've read something about an American trend about the church, that the church is no longer relevant or effective. Did you know this? Church is no longer relevant or effective. That's funny. Because Jesus is building His church, and it's powerful. So when I hear things like that, it's interesting because I walk into my bedroom and my wife is watching Billy Graham. The old Billy Graham, the younger Billy Graham. He's a lot older now. This is the young Billy Graham, the fire-breathing Billy Graham. It's around the 50s or probably 60s, and he's preaching like a house on fire. And he says this. He said the same thing. He said, the church is not effective in this time that we're living in. And he goes on to admonish people, Christians should live like Christians. So when I hear something like, well, the trend in the church today is that the church is no longer relevant or effective. I got a good Alabama word for that. Hogwash. And then I also read this. I know I need to quit reading and just stay in the book. But I read an article that says we're living in post-Christian America. Wow. Did anybody stop and ask God? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what we see is God raises up people all over the earth that love Him and live for Him. And I look on your wall right out here and you believe this. Your pastor believes this because you're supporting missionaries that are going to places that people have never heard the name. And they're preaching the gospel and people are getting saved. So people say, well, the church is post-Christian in America. No, it's not. It's not in Franklin, North Carolina. Can I get an amen, somebody? No, and I don't think it ever will be because I believe that God is good at raising people from the dead, the spiritual dead, bringing them to life, and that people are going to see and want that. No more dry bones. See, here's what we got to do. And I read that stuff and I just laugh because I'm like, you church guys, man, y'all sit back with your little remote control thinking you know how to do church and maybe you've done something, accomplished something. Big stinking deal. Because I can't stand armchair quarterbacks. Can't stand it. When I was a pastor, I'm open to people's, their opinions and things. But listen, if they're not with the vision, if they're just complaining, have some cheese with your wine and go on with your bad self. Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. If you are saved and you see the vision of the kingdom of God, there's no time to whine and complain. You're consumed with God. You're consumed with Jesus. And you want to see the will of God fulfilled. Amen, somebody? Now listen, we all get our feelings hurt and we all disagree at times, but let me just encourage you this morning. Die to yourself. Keep carrying your cross because you know what can happen if you do that and die to yourself? The Word of God won't offend you and no other person will offend you because you can't offend a dead person. See, the thing is, we have to take personal responsibility. I can talk about these guys talking about the church, or I can talk about this church in America and what's happening. I haven't been in every church in America. I just know about me, and I'm in this church. I'm in Pastor JD's church this morning, and I'm glad I'm in church, and I'm glad I get to feel and experience the power of God, and I'm glad that I get to be a part of the kingdom that keeps marching forward in power, because that's what's happening. People that whine and complain normally see they're just caught up. They just got bones and dust all over them. But all we have to do is take personal responsibility. Church is only as good as the people allow God to make it. I want to say that again. Church is only as good as the people allow God to make it. See, to me, church should be like those steaks we ate, man. Juicy. Mine was juicy. See, that's how a church ought to be. That's how believers ought to be. We should be T-bones full of God's goodness, power, and love. And the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do people taste and see the Lord? They take a bite out of your life. Has anybody ever got a piece of you? Uh-oh. That could be good or bad. But the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man that takes refuge in Him. We ought to be the juicy T-bone for Jesus. Amen, somebody? God's got a meaty church full of His power and full of His presence. So we're not gloom and doom for the future. We're not dry bones. I see a generation rising. Anybody see it? A generation of young people that need to see and experience. This is what they need to see and experience. And we're going to pray this morning. And I pray that every man that was at that camp out, that you'd lead the way to this altar this morning and lead the way into this generation. And I know many of you are already doing it, because this morning I prayed with Cody and tears coming down his face as we're believing God for the generation of kids raised up in this church that will know Jesus and serve Him. Can somebody say amen? I like it when men of God cry. They're not ashamed nor afraid. I need Jesus. I need His power. I want to see this generation rise up. I've hung out with Pastor Nathan and talking about the kingdom of God, and hearing Pastor JD and Pastor Nathan talking about doing church camp and having that slide, sliding down that slide. But what's most important is having a move of God in the service as a generation rising. So I don't know if you can see it, church, but this generation is rising up through Trinity Assembly of God. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is bidding you and I to come and say, I want to be a part of this. See, this generation needs to see someone with God's hand on their life. I love reading about Nehemiah. Nehemiah said Jerusalem's being burnt and destroyed. The gates of the city have been destroyed, and it bothered him. It bothered him so much that it got into his heart. And he went before the king and just is eating at him and gnawing at him. And he said, I've got to do something. God help us. Today, may that get on somebody and get in somebody that I've got to do something in this generation. I've got to do something for God. You know, we don't have to know everything that God wants us to do. He's got the blueprint. I love and appreciate this about God. He tells Ezekiel to speak to the bones, and then He tells him what to say. I'm stuck on that seventh grade level. I need it simple. So I appreciate when I see that. I love Noah. He's one of my favorite people in the Bible. You know what God did? Told him to build an ark. Told him to build an ark. So you know what he did? He started gathering the wood that God named. God told him how to build it and what to build. You know, all the details. And I love reading about Noah, because I can just see Noah hammering away. And people coming up going, you know, well, you're crazy. It's never rained, and you're talking flood. What are you talking about? And I can see little kids coming by going, crazy Noah. But it wasn't so crazy when it started raining. It wasn't so crazy when the water started rising. Hey, I don't mind riding with a gorilla now. This might not be too bad. I read him. He's one of my favorites, because in the face of everything that he went through, it was just him. It was just him and Mrs. Noah and the boys. He just keeps hammering away. In his generation, he keeps hammering away. He keeps hammering and hammering and hammering. Now, we live in the time of some theological eggheads that go, well, there may have been a great flood. And, you know, on History Channel, different shows, they're trying to find the flood or find out where it happened and maybe find Noah's Ark. They can find it in about Chapter 6 of Genesis is somewhere in there, right? That's where they can find it. It's in there. So I believe God and His Word. This is one thing I've learned about God. God says it, and God does it. He's raising up a generation, church. Don't you want to be a part of what God's doing? Don't you want to give your all to what He's doing? Nehemiah says this. He gets permission. God moves on the king. And king's like, man, he rolls out the royal carpet for him. He gets him to where he needs to be. And you know what happens? He says this. Nehemiah says something that I love. He said, the hand of God is good upon me. If you've ever experienced the power and presence of God that's changed your life, don't you appreciate the hand of God on your life? See, this generation rising, they need to see men and women of God that have the hand of God. Nehemiah said, the hand of the Lord is upon me and it's good. Oh, that's what they need to see. How about someone, they need to see someone led by God's Spirit into the place, into the plan of God. No trends, no gimmicks. Just being real. Just being led by the Spirit of God. How about someone who has supernatural power in their life and experiences God in their life? This is what happened to Ezekiel. We don't read a lot about him praying about this. It says God took him by the Spirit. And he had a supernatural encounter with God. And I want to tell you this morning that we can have supernatural encounters with God. I'm believing for us to experience God that way in just a few moments. Amen, somebody? We only need two or three of us to believe. Supernatural power. Also, looking for someone who doesn't have all the answers. People with all the answers scare me. Amen, somebody? I don't have all the answers. Because you know when we don't have all the answers, you know what happens? We have to pray. We have to pray and talk to the one that has all the answers. Hallelujah. See, he's got the blueprint, but we don't know all the details of it. He tells Ezekiel exactly what to say. He tells Noah exactly how to build. He moves on Nehemiah's heart that gets him to the kingdom of God, to Jerusalem, to start rebuilding the gates and rebuilding the city. See, God's looking for someone who would dare to prophesy, would speak God's word to the dry bones that we live in America. I dare you. I dare you. I feel the spirit of Paul, the Holy Spirit that was upon Paul that told Timothy, not gimmicks, not trends in the church. He told Timothy, preach the word. Speak the word. Proclaim the word of God. And we see a generation rising. Someone who wants to be a part of a vast army, of the vast army of God. Let's all stand together this morning if we could. Just ordinary people experiencing the extraordinary God, speaking His word. Speak the word of God over your life. If the worship team, if team worship can come. Can y'all ride with me this afternoon and do worship in my truck on the way home? Man. See, I told Pastor JD and Pastor Rick and Pastor Nathan, you don't have kids, do you? Okay. A wife? We got things to pray about. Church, y'all got some stuff to pray about. But I told these men I've got four boys, and I want my boys to be like their sons, because I see their sons hanging out with their dads, and they're older. Because my two oldest are 15 and 16. I'm going to pick them up. They've been playing basketball this weekend. I love them. And I beat Lovejoy and Peace into them sometimes because I have to. No, I'm just kidding. I love those boys. And my two youngest, man, I love them. I just went to the zoo with my 7-year-old the other day, and he's holding my hand the whole time. And I know in a few years that won't happen. So I was just eating it up, man. I was just like a kid. He's like, Dad, can we take a picture of every animal here? And this is a pretty big old zoo. And I'm like, yeah, we can, buddy. And glad that he forgot about that later. But we did get some pictures of some monkeys and lions. But I want my kids to be like this man of God's kids and this man of God's kids and your kids. I'll come back and meet your kids, because you know what, they see a generation rising, and I know many of you do too this morning. It's not a hard thing. It's not a hard message for you. What's hard is carrying our cross from Mondays to Saturdays. Because we get in here on Sunday, man, the light is bright, and we're a city set on a hill. And I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is large and in charge. It gets bigger when we come together. That's why we are the church. And when this army comes together, that's why it's important that we be here. And men of God, shame on you if you don't come that Sunday night and sing loud. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. It don't matter. Sing out to God. Deep, profound things happen in us, especially men, when we sing out and we're not ashamed. My wife, I don't care what she thinks. But she'll start to dance. Somebody, my brother said, I'm going to come up there and constrain you. You're getting into worship. I'm like, yeah, what else are we supposed to do? We get to worship today. It might be our last time on this side. Amen, somebody? Can you see a generation rising? I can see it in this house. I can see it in this community. Will we put our hand to the plow and push until our very last day? Use all the strength in our body. Use all of our mind power. All of our abilities and talent. Not to mention, we'll have the hand of God upon us. And His hand is good. His hand is mighty. His hand is strong. Can you see the generation rising? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your presence here this morning. I thank You.